Okay.
It's 8:45. We'll call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meetings Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Setzer, Byers, Lytle, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, and Juergens. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda. The consent agenda contains a general agenda, the approval of the minutes of the meeting held January 9th, 2013, approval of all claims through January 23, 2013, in the amount of $364,485.07. Approval and place on file correspondence received, $5 from Mr. Juergens. Approved register of deeds fee report for the month of December 2012. Approved permit number 930 to Dwayne Sims to trench electric line in the southeast quarter of Section 6, Township 5 North, Range 5 East, and in the southwest quarter of Section 5, Township 5 North, Range 5 East, which is south a half a mile of Southwest 128th Road in Grant Township. Lastly, approved permit number 931 and 932 to the Lower Big Blue NRD Resource District to open a trench to cross the road in the northeast quarter of Section 21, Township 1 North, Range 8 East, and in the northwest quarter of Section 22, Township 1 North, Range 8 East, Liberty Township, and a waterline open trench in the southeast quarter of Section 8, Township 1 North, Range 8 East in Liberty Township, in the southeast quarter of the northeast quarter and the northeast quarter of the southeast quarter of Section 17, Township 1 North, Range 8 East, Liberty Township, and in the southwest quarter of Section 6, Township 1 North, Range 7 East, Barnston Township. And next time we should probably have a map.
I would move the consent agenda be approved.
I have a motion by Byers, second by Setzer to approve the consent agenda. Discussion. I'd like to just comment on some of the correspondence we've received. Everybody's got a copy of the NEMA letter regarding the LEOP. That's done once every 5 years, and I know that speaking with Gary and the Emergency Management Committee is that Mark is actively working on that, so he'll keep us posted, but I just know that it doesn't come up a whole lot. It's quite a little bit to put together, and they are working on that, so just be aware of that. Any other discussion or comments? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Next item on the agenda is on the regular agenda is comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And I would just like to say that everybody is welcome at the County Board of Supervisors, and if you'd like to come and speak, we just ask that by process that you identify yourself, but we're always glad to see folks show up. So as you come up, just identify yourself if you'd like to talk. Next on the agenda is Max Mains to present the fiscal year 2012 audit and place the report on file.
Okay, I'll be referring to the handout I just laid on your desk. It's got three pages to it. It's an overall summary of the financials of the county for the year ending June 30, 2012. Page one, basis of accounting. It's important to understand that the county records its books using the cash method of accounting. The notes to the financial statements are important to read, and they begin on page 8 through 19 of the audit report. We issued unqualified or clean opinion on the financial statements, no disclaimers or findings. We issued a management letter, which we included in the audit report. Page 2. Is a summary of your governmental receipts and disbursements. We break receipts by type. The disbursements are by function. Charges for services include the County Treasurer Commission, dock stamp and the various fees the offices collect. That was up 1%. Operating grants is basically state and federal receipts, and that was down 14%, mainly due to state aid was down $83,000, and FEMA was down $319,000. And also Homeland Security was down $52,000. Taxes were down 6%, mainly because of the inheritance tax. That was down about $567,000. The other or miscellaneous receipts was down about 59%, and that was because of the donation from the Friends of the Courthouse of $105,000 in the prior year, and there was insurance money in the prior year of $201,000. On the general government side, expenses were down $761,000, mainly because of there were courthouse improvements made in out of inheritance in 2011. And public safety, which includes the district judge, 911, emergency management, jail, and sheriff, that was up 13%. District judge was spent about $34,000 more. Jail was up $112,000. And emergency management was up 67.5 or 39%. Public works stayed pretty much the same, which includes highway and weed. Your public health is your medical director. Public assistance is your vet service, Region 5. And culture and rec is your visitor promotion. So overall, the county net had a net increase in fund balance of $265,995. Page three is your budget highlight. Took your actual expense compared to the budget, and the county spent 78% of their budget. And in the past, I look back to 2010, the county spent 84% of its budget. And in 2009, it was 66. And then also there were three budget amendments that were made properly, taken out of miscellaneous general, $73,344. So overall, a good year, I'd say. Anybody have any questions?
Questions for Max? Comments?
I'd just like to say I really appreciate the breakdown, and that makes it real easy for during the meeting when we don't have time, obviously, to study this big book you gave me.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you.
Well,
just come,
sorry. The book he gave us earlier, that is on, that's on file over at the clerk's office, available to the public.
We always have a copy of it.
I would move that we receive the audit report and place it on file.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Next is the Engage quarterly report.
I don't think Bill's here yet, is he?
No.
Nope.
Give him a timed.
No, he.
9:30.
I don't see him yet. No. So if we could delay him, I guess, or whatever, that'd be great.
We'll come back. We'll come back.
Because he has some things to talk about that, as far as Monday night at the city council meeting, they talked about the different incentive, that incentive proposal that he would, if you have questions for, you can ask, and like to review with everybody just a little bit so that everybody has a good idea about that. So I think we'll try and wait for Bill.
It's not a timed item, so we'll come back. We're fine. Ardeth Hoynes, Blue Valley Community Action, and Carmen Hinman, or the Hope Crisis Center, to discuss certification for a nonprofit organization to receive funding for homeless shelter activities. I know there are a couple letters and requests that came into the board, and And I think you wanted us to act on it, but we had never seen it before, so we wanted to have a discussion so we knew what we were all talking about.
Yes. Thank you.
Just identify yourself for the
I am Marta Points, Blue Valley Community Action. I'm the Family and Community Services Director.
And I'm Carmen Hinman from Hope Crisis Center, and I'm the director there.
Thank you.
We are here to ask you to approve for us to be able to administer shelter activities in Gage County. We have been providing services for homeless individuals and families for many years. We were trying to figure out how many, and it's been many years. We each have a shelter here in Gage County, a confidential location, where we can put an individual or a single family. It's a single family dwelling. And they are housed there until we can assess their situation and access resources and get them into permanent housing. Carmen?
And we also have a single-family dwelling here in Gage County. Ours are primarily to serve victims of domestic violence and sexual assault and their families if they have them. And like Artie said, we, too, have been providing that service for a number of years. And the feds are now asking this requirement of us to be able to receive funding through these through this particular funding source. So
we are applying for Emergency Solutions grant funds through the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. This is funds that have been available, but because of a new law, they are now asking us to get certification from the local jurisdiction. And because we serve the entire county of Gage, we are here before you asking for approval to continue this.
And I do might say that I sit on both of these boards and have gone over all of these programs, and what these agencies are doing is absolutely fantastic for people in need, and I want to commend you, and I would certainly recommend that we approve the certification. I'd make that motion if you wanted to.
I don't have it on, but how time-sensitive is this? We could do it next meeting. Is that 2 weeks?
Well, I have kind of a personal dilemma because I'm going in for surgery, and I need to get this grant submitted before the 5th of February, and you meet the 6th. So if you could approve it so I could get that paper before then, I would appreciate it. If not, I'll make other arrangements.
And would it be this is the form. It's very simple. If we read what it says on here, would that help
things?
Do
you have copies?
We just don't have it on the agenda to approve. I didn't know it was time sensitive. I wasn't aware of the personal situation. So.
Okay.
And mine can wait.
I can make other arrangements. Want us to read this? I thought perhaps you might have copies.
We don't have copies. I guess read it if you'd like.
Okay. It says, I, Gage County Commissioner, duly authorized to act on behalf of Gage County, hereby approve the following emergency shelter activities provided, proposed by, of course, mine would say Hope Crisis Center, and Artie's would say Blue Valley Community Action, which are located or planned to be located, because some of them obviously would be starting new shelters. Ours are already located in Gage County. And then it asks for the description of the emergency shelter. So Hope Crisis Center says Hope Crisis Center will provide a place of safety through emergency shelter for victims and accompanying children when needed. Hope Crisis Center does not place anyone on a waiting list for shelter. If shelter is deemed necessary based on the client's need, Hope Crisis Center will meet this need for them. And then it just asks the signature of the approving party.
So is there any obligation for us when we certify?
You're just giving your approval that we can operate this shelter.
So there's no obligation?
No. There's no request for funds. There's no anything. It's for you to know that we have a shelter and that you approve for us to continue activities.
I guess my question is kind of related to what Matt had, but I realize you're not asking for funds, but it is just a certification through the local government and not a deal where it's passed through funds that are actually going to have to go through our budget in any way.
No.
Okay, because it does say state subrecipients on here.
We are the subrecipients. Okay. The state is the recipient of the emergency solutions funds, and then they subcontract it to us, so we're called subrecipients.
Okay.
Any other questions at all? And when this request came in, what I'd like to try and do is move forward when we get requests, as if it's not time sensitive because of a process and the personal things come up, try to discuss it at a meeting and then come back the next time, because a lot of times things show up and we just don't know much about them, and we just so we know, we just so we're making the right decisions.
Appreciate
and asking
it,
the right questions. Yeah. So I guess what we'll do is we'll put this on the board for consideration, the agenda for consideration in 2 weeks.
Okay. On that form, you might just change. It says commissioner. It's supervisor
okay.
here with the
okay.
township. That's
okay.
Any other questions for us or for the ladies here?
So I guess my question is, I can change mine to say Gage County Supervisor. Do you want me to email that to Don and then? Or how do you want to handle
the
signing process?
The clerk's office is fine. Then we'll come to the agenda and we'll sign it.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is to approve or disapprove a purchase for a 2014 International dump truck with snow plow and spreader in the amount of $161,750. Need a motion to?
I motion to approve the purchase of this 2014 7600 International truck, snow plow, and spreader in the amount of $161,750.
Motion by Terry.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Discussion.
I guess, Matt, this is the truck that we've probably been, it has been budgeted for the last 2 years now. Previous year we didn't do anything. There was a good use and we looked at, couldn't get our hands on it. This is one that's gone through the we're going through the state specs and bids on it, and we're about 210 days out to get this done as soon as they get this agreement. The next closest bid was for a Mack truck, and it was $25,000 to $26,000 higher than this current bid here. So, I mean, if you look through your materials that you have here, it's well equipped, heavy duty truck. It's going to serve the county for a long, long time, and it's something that that we do need. You know, it's equipped with a sand spreader, snow plow, pusher. It's a well equipped truck. So. It's my recommendation that we do this, and Galen's here today. If anybody has any question concerning the truck or any issues about that, he's here to answer those better than I could, I'm sure. So,
I don't know, Terry. I was in that meeting. I think you could pick apart a truck pretty good.
Good job.
Yeah. Any questions, Gary?
Terry, was this a replacement truck, or is this an addition to the fleet?
This we're going to take one out of the current fleet, but in talking to Galen, we're still going to use it. It's going to go down to the dirt crew, hauling riprap, those type of materials. So it's not an addition. It's a replacement, but we're not really mothballing the one, as I said before. It's still going to be used, but not full-time. It's still a usable truck, but not for what we're using it for now, as far as for cleaning roads, you know, all those kind of things. So it's not an additional truck, no.
Okay, thanks.
Terry alluded to before is we did try and look in the used market, and we did come across at least one very nice truck, but because of the bidding process and the time delay for letting bids, we lost that one and maybe a couple others, and we just couldn't get into a good used truck because everyone else saw it as a good used truck, and they were buying it before we as a public body could act.
And I'm sorry, this truck, like I say, is 210 days out from when the contract signed, so we're still looking at August for a deliberate, sometime in August, you know, give or take. So that's how long it takes.
Any further discussion? Questions for Galen? Comments from Galen? No?
It's not being used to do the snow in the meantime. We'll be pulling a pup trailer hauling rock and gravel or something. It won't be
that nice. Multi-use. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Next item on the agenda is discuss, amend, approve, or disapprove the Board of Supervisors' standing rules. Let's just start off with a discussion here. Does everyone have a copy? I think last meeting we got a copy of the standing rules. I did I asked Roger to kind of look over those, and Roger hadn't seen them for some time, and let's go through and make sure all the legalese was appropriate, and I don't know if you want to comment on any of your...
There was just, I think there's one typo, and then Don and I spoke about the agenda that's in Rule 23, and basically over the years that has been adjusted informally, so I just suggest to go ahead and put down what we use in the printed agenda. Of course, the chair always retains the right to adjust that agenda as the meeting goes. But other than that, I don't think there was anything other than I'd point out that when Mr. Juergens' phone went off, Rule 21 was violated this morning. So,
Gus?
I would like to say that I believe he has been taking care of his candy duties out of his own pocket, so I think we should waive his penalty on that.
Duly noted. But the grief is still worth it.
Oh, definitely.
So I guess, yeah, Rule 23, you know, we have our committee reports at the end of the meeting. You know, I guess sometimes it does involve department heads and things like that. I just want to move that to the beginning. It's just kind of a process issue. I think we tried to put those at the end, but it's easy to move in the agenda and do committee reports. And that's, we could leave that alone and just move the committee reports up. To me, it really doesn't make any difference the beginning or the end of the meeting, but the beginning of the meeting would allow department heads to get here and then leave and do their job. So we'll just adjust the, I guess, not hearing any discussion. We'll amend the agenda to reflect the current standing rules. But I should also, Rule 18 here, and I talked to Don about this before, and I guess it, there's another, Rule 18 discusses the committees, and I guess I wanted to parlay this into a discussion and bring in, because it is relevant to that, is our the new committees for 2013. So what I did is had gone through and consolidated some of the committees, and I've given everybody a copy of that in front of you. So I guess if we kind of put the cart before the horse on this one, but if we approve Rule 18, we need to be sensitive to the consolidation of committees. So I guess what I would say is at some point after the discussion, you will have to have a motion to amend the Rule 18 to reflect the committees of the kind of consolidating some of the committees. So look at that and I guess give me some feedback. Questions, concerns, personal rubs for or against?
I think that the consolidation of some of the committees is a really good idea. I think we had far too many committees to keep track of. So I think this is really good.
Okay. Thank you. And I think that some of the consolidation of some of the committees that meet less frequently, not necessarily any less important based on what their discussion at that time, but they just done an instance to have that separate committee out there. And some of those discussions, I think, are probably better placed and kind of in concert with the larger committee that meets maybe a little more frequently. Okay. All right. Any further discussion? I guess what I would do is I would ask for a motion to consider changing rule or amending Rule 18 to reflect the proposed consolidation of the board based on the handout that everybody has.
I would make that motion.
Motion by Setzer.
Second.
Second by Danny. Approve. Any further discussion? Vote. Okay, so we'll amend Rule 18 to reflect those new consolidated committees. Any other requests for amendment or changes to the standing rules? If not, I'll accept a motion to approve or disapprove the new Board of Supervisors standing rules for 2013.
So move.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve the standing rules for 2013. The next on the agenda is to approve or disapprove designating a county newspaper. Need a motion to approve or disapprove. Just need a motion so we can have some discussion, just based on process.
I would make a motion that we approve dividing the newspaper equally between the Beatrice Daily Sun, the Weimar Arbor State, and the Voice News.
A motion to approve splitting them out equally. Second for that?
Second.
Second by Byers. Discussion. A discussion on this.
Kathy, explain what you're looking at, as far as the financial part and that type of thing.
I believe that they cover their own separate areas and do a very good job of it. It doesn't cost as the Voice News very well explained last time. It really doesn't cost him anything to put it in there. They also put it because it's just a cut and paste. He said it takes them about 2 minutes to get it in there. It doesn't add to or subtract from the amount of paper or ink on their newspaper, and they put it on their website. And Weimar Arbor State and the Daily Sun has agreed now to put it on their website at no charge. I think that we should divide it equally.
Question. So you're talking a payment of, we're allowed so much?
One third.
Okay.
And that's what we had done. Sorry, Jerry. Go ahead,
no,
Jerry.
No, finish up.
I think that's what we had started with last year, and then I think we ran into some publishing issues with the Daily Sun, so we had changed that. So last year we had started 33.3 for all three. So that's basically what we had done last year, and then we had changed that. I believe it was in June or July, mid-year, I believe.
And if one newspaper chooses not to publish at the rate we vote for, they have the option to not publish. They do not have the option to publish and then bill at a greater rate.
Right. Terry?
I guess, Matt, if our goal is to reach as many people in Gage County as we can, which is our goal, I think, this would be the wrong thing to do. Because if you go by circulation numbers, you know, clearly, the Daily Sun has more circulation, more readers than the other two combined. So I don't see how it's fair to, you know, say you're going to just take a third, where their cost, their delivery cost, everything else involved is greater than the other two. So I don't know how we could say you're just going to get a third of this cost, you know. Doesn't seem fair to me, so I wouldn't vote for that. I don't think that's right.
I'll say at this point that we did agree to that a third last year, and I really did not agree with changing midstream what we had planned on doing initially. But at this point in time, I agree with Terry that we should continue to do what we have been doing since we amended it in the middle of last year. We should go ahead and go that direction. That way we're covering the county with the Daily Sun, the Voice, and also the Arbor State. And I think that that's the way, and I'll vote appropriate that way. I won't vote for a third.
So what are you say the percentages that you're wanting it?
Well,
you're saying
I think right now what we're doing, I believe the Daily Sun, they charge a higher rate, and they wanted a higher rate to purchase or to publish those, and so the others are giving us a better discount. They're still publishing them, and what we had changed, I think we went to 65. I think Dawn, I had her check on that. So they're getting a higher rate, and I know the gentleman that was here from the Arbor State, our Voice News 6 months ago or 8 months ago, and I agreed with his assumption is that you shouldn't look at percentages. You just we need to meet our statutory obligation to have public notices, and that's good, and use all three, and basically ask each for-profit organization for the best deal. And I still think it's the right thing to do is to use all three and not get anyone out, because I agree with what Terry says. And if some can do it cheaper than others, that's great. Those are public documents. The cost, those are out there, and let the public decide. But our obligation is to get that information out there, and I don't think there's been anyone that's said anything to the contrary. It's just, we get to the percentages. Well, 30, 30, and 65 don't make 100%. Nope. That's pretty easy math that doesn't add up. But I think we need to be sensitive to getting that out there. And they're for-profit organizations, and they some can do it cheaper than others. It's no different. But I think we need to continue to use all three. There's a cost to that. We lay that cost out there. The statute defines how we're supposed to do this. And remember, we've got three outlets there, and we're choosing to use one that probably cost a little bit more. And what else do we do that we use the most expensive one and not feel a little bit guilty about that? But the goal here, I think, there's a cost of doing business. We need to get the public notices out there. And I agree the Daily Sun has the majority of the readership, or whatever they call that, out there. And so I would agree with it, give them a little bit more if it costs them that much, but I wouldn't propose we take anything away from the others and get that information out there.
Matt, I think, too, I think we really need to take into consideration. I mean, we always want to cut costs and we want to save as much as we want to, but sometimes you also have to realize that businesses operate different. They have different costs. They have different amount of publications. Everybody says, well, they only print it like The Voice once and The Arbor State once. The Daily Sun only prints it once also, but theirs goes out to a whole lot more papers than the others do in the county. I agree that we need to cover as much of the county as we can with our publications. I think it shows up that I don't know what we're doing wrong. Went to the city council meeting Monday night, and they had five bidders on that one project or whatever. I sit there and I go, in this last year, we've had three projects that we've only had one bidder on. So I don't know what we're doing wrong with our legal publications or why we're not getting more or whatever. But I think we need to leave it the way it's currently at the 65, I think a third.
Well, and just to clarify with Kathy, Kathy was not advocating that we cut anybody out. It was just a percentage
issue. No,
absolutely
not.
Right.
Yeah, right. No. And I would just like to make one more comment, and that is that I would imagine that the Daily Sun does buy their paper and ink a lot cheaper than the Hickman or the Weimar paper does, because they've got such huge volume and, their corporate office. But I will withdraw my motion at this point.
I would withdraw the second.
Okay. So I need another motion.
Matt, I'll make a motion to leave it the publication rates at the current rate.
What it is right now. Motion by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Juergens.
Could we put in the motion what the rates are that it is spelled out very clearly?
Can Don help us with that?
Well, it would be 65% for the Daily Sun, and then 33 1/3 for The Voice and Arbor State.
So it's clear, that's 65% of the maximum legal rate allowed by law.
Correct.
Okay, that's so everybody's clear.
Yes. But we're not adding up to 100%. It's off of the maximum rate.
Right. And as Don has pointed out at several meetings also, like when we have an election, those have a different rate than what our legal notices do otherwise. So just so everybody's aware of that. And that's why sometimes, like this last year, we got a bunch of information last meeting about the dollar amounts, and that's why some of the dollar amounts Terry brought up, that you get an election. Right now we don't have any election scheduled for this coming year, but Dawn always says she's never been here that we haven't had an election. So we may have an election come up, and those costs would reflect that.
Well, I'd like to read, just went through and worked with Dawn about the different places that we release information. I'm just going to go through and read these. Obviously, we have our public meetings, our committee meetings, which are open to the public. Board members are available via home phone and email. Gage County has a website. We post information. This is an actual audio and a video recording of our meetings. Our agenda is published on our website. We post it in the courthouse. It's sent to local media. Our minutes are on the website. They're at the courthouse. They're local media. The agenda documents that are provided to us, if we get them ahead of time before the meeting, we post those and we make those available on our website. Data that we get that is sensitive with regard to public records that we release, we put those on the website so people can see what we received during the meeting. All documents discussed and approved in open session are available, again, at the clerk's office in accordance with the Nebraska State Statute regarding public records. Official publication of legal notices, as directed by Nebraska State Statute, again, we put things in the print media. There's other opportunities. We can put things on our website. Again, our committee meetings and regular meetings, those are attended by our local media, portions of our local media. And again, state the obvious, any formal action and decisions of this public body and the like are discussed, approved, or disapproved in a public meeting in accordance with state statute and is directed and conducted by the Open Meetings Act. So there's a lot of different ways people can get the information out there. The motion is to discuss about how we're going to use our local print media, but there's several different ways that are out there, and I just wanted to state that because sometimes we can get pigeonholed and forget there's a lot of different ways and avenues that people can get their information about their county government. And I would recommend get online, look at these meetings, go to the clerk's office. The easiest is to pick up the phone and call your local supervisor and ask them questions. I heard this. I think this. What's your opinion of this? That's probably the best way. So there's a lot of information that's out there. Any further discussion, comments from the public? I turn this over. Any feedback? I see some folks from different newspapers. Any discussions?
Just one quick comment. Bill Bryant from the Voice newspaper. In all this discussion, another thing that comes up is the Beatrice Daily Sun.
Mr. Bryant, come here. Sorry, just identify yourself for the record, just so we can hear you.
Bill Bryant, Voice newspaper, Hickman, Nebraska. The Beatrice Daily Sun, Quibi, The Voice, the Southern newspaper in Wymore, they also do stories about what you guys do. So in addition to the legals that are posted or whatever, information comes out of there that the public's interested in, and those type of publications and the radio go out and report on that. So you're kind of getting more for your money down the line. So thank you guys on everybody. So Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you. Would you like to come?
Patrick Etheridge from the Daily Sun. I'm really here more just to answer questions if anybody had any of those. But I would try to explain the expense part, why I think we should get more. It's not based on if we were to do paper for paper, certainly our expenses would be the same or maybe even a little better. But to put out 4,000 papers with that notice as opposed to 400, that's where our expense gets pretty significant in comparison.
I guess not to be argumentative, but how many pages of legal notices do you publish each day? I mean, does our legal notice
or in general?
In general, I mean, do the legal notices make any difference in the amount of paper that you're using for your daily?
No, they don't. They don't bump the page count of that day's paper. It's the fact that we have to print 4,000 of those papers so that everybody in the county that gets a paper, that's the extra expense. It's, if I can simplify without trying to insult you, it's if you were to go to the store and buy 400 pencils or 4,500 pencils, of course the 4,000 pencils cost more.
Obviously. Okay.
Well, I think it was a comment I had made once before, and I was going through and reading the legislation that's been introduced up in Lincoln, and you look at some of those, and some of those don't appear to have direct effect at a local level. I think there's some detachment there in some of these things that happen here at a local level, specifically regarding the use of technology, not under the guise of cutting any print media out, but there is electronic media out there that we can do things at no cost. So when there's an opportunity for the legislature to allow local bodies to save money, there's avenues out there to do that. Electronic media, free and open the internet, people can get access. You can go to your local library and log on for free. You know, we're spending roughly $25,000 a year in legal notifications. And again, right now that's a cost of doing business. I'm not advocating not doing that, but there are other ways out there, and it would be nice if from time to time there was some legislation that would be introduced to deal with the electronic age. You know, we don't use candles to light a house for a reason. There's a better way. So there's other things out there. And I think I'll put a pretty big burden on Don's shoulders to increase the use of our website to post stuff. And I know over the last year and a half, Myron worked pretty hard to get that camera in place through the system and get that to work, too. So we've tried to make efforts to have that out there to provide several different ways for outlets for people to be informed about their local county government. Any further discussion? No. Vote. Sorry, I took a presumption there. You were going to vote for that. Six in favor, sets are against to keep it the way that it currently is, as previously stated by the clerk.
Okay. Can I go talk to Bob a minute and have him go call Bill or something to find out what? Are you able to go call Bill once? I got it.
Okay. All right. Myron's going to... You want to just...
That's true.
All right. We'll just take a little pause here and let them get their number going. Here's technology, see? Where's the rotary phone when you need it, right? Next item on the agenda is to discuss and approve or disapprove the board committees. Start with discussion here. Sheet in front of you, we basically had already approved changing the standing rules, so there's some level of assumption that you'll want to approve the current committees and then also the appointments down there. I'd sent a draft copy to Dawn. I believe she got that out to everyone a couple weeks ago to kind of look at a little bit, and I've had a little bit of feedback, but any questions? But that, right, it's not that one. This one's a little bit different. So just go through and look at that. And again, there's a consolidation of some of those committees and basically putting winter lights under building and grounds, emergency management under law enforcement, and insurance under finance committee. What's that? Extra copy.
And I think, Matt, too, one other thing. You and I had talked about it or whatever. We had an economic development committee, too, the last few years, and that was formed kind of as we got together with the city and everything. And I guess right now, I mean, that's
more
off of here.
Yeah, that was more of a work group. And I believe right now the way that the agreement we have with them, we designate to go there, so that's what that would be. And after talking to Myron, that's why we pulled that off a committee and made it an appointment.
Right.
You'll also see there on Boswell, with our interlocal agreement with the city, we have to have two. I was just going to really hang that on Terry, and I thought, well, we have to have two. So, and then I believe the personnel board in our handbook, we have two. So a couple of those stayed with two, and the others used to all have an alternate. And that's where I put the line at the bottom. Each member serves as the primary contact, but I think from time to time, people won't be able to go there. And I know since I've been on the board, I've only gone to a couple of these other ones and these appointments of these different groups. And if ever there's an opportunity to not go, ask somebody. I think it makes us a little more well-rounded. And sometimes the schedule's not the best. Sometimes they're hard to get to. But if somebody can't go, I think we just have to be open to knocking on the door and picking up the phone and saying, hey, I can't go. Can you go? Because I think it's important. Several of these groups we fund, and I think it's important that we have somebody there to represent our interest and the interest of the taxpayers of Gage County.
Anyway, we might think about it, Matt. Many of the boards ask for an appointment from each of the county boards, plus they ask for an alternate appointment. And so they have both the appointee, who is the committee member, and if he isn't to attend, he has a designated alternate. So as I would be the representative to Region 5 Services and Systems, if I have a designated alternate rather than just ask somebody if I can't make it. So, you know, it depends on how those boards are constructed also because they ask for designated alternates.
Okay. Well, I guess what we could do is if maybe the first meeting or two, first member can go and ask them if they want that designated, then come back and we can designate at that point.
Okay.
Is that kind of acceptable?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Matt, the one question that comes to my mind is we've had some issues with Mark Mintz's, or with the emergency manager's job description, is to not being a first responder. And I guess my question is to Roger, is this, if we put them two committees together, law enforcement and emergency management, does that become an issue in any way, shape, or form with Mark's job description? And
I think it's one of those things where you basically the input he can provide through his specialty would be important to law enforcement, too, as we look at things like security, protocol. A lot of times if law enforcement is called out on an emergency situation, that's going to be at least a second call that goes in because he has access to a lot of that different emergency equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a problem as far as job description because, to me, I think it fits within that, or at least tangentially it fits within it.
I think that's a good point. That's a good consideration. The thought process for that is that it's not that the emergency management personnel would need to be at every law enforcement meeting if there's nothing to discuss regarding law enforcement. But just knowing what we're dealing with security and some of that process, I just thought for at least this year, there's some resource allocation there that they may be a resource to one another to find that. Unless Gus has a huge objection.
No, it. In my eyes, he is an emergency responder because when I call in for assistance,
no,
that's my perception. You guys do your own thing, but
this is a committee to review some of those things, and those things seem to be married. But I believe that is correct: is that there is a delineation based on what NIRMA says that role can be and how that job description, which gets into personnel issue. But we want to be sensitive to that. But I think that's just something we'll have to be sensitive to.
The way we classify Mark is as an exempt employee. And in order for him to be an exempt employee, he cannot be a first responder. He's got to be more on that training side of things and not a first responder. So we just need to make sure we make that clarification, I guess, to keep him separated out of the first responders, I guess is what I'm saying at this point. Okay, if we're going to put the two committees together, that's fine. We just need to make sure that clarification is there, that the emergency manager is still an exempt status employee and cannot be a first responder.
Man, I got a question too. I guess probably as much for Gary because I know the first year I was on the board, I was on that committee meeting, and we probably had four or five meetings, I guess, with emergency management. I guess, and just so that I don't want that. I know there's some things that emergency management does just a little bit different sometimes than the sheriff, and they have some things that they got to do by statute, or not statute, but so that we get that all done and in the county, and just so that that we make sure that we still have that flow and everything, and so that we don't leave that part out and something gets lost somewhere, I guess. Because I agree with the other two, definitely, I guess. That, and I don't have concerns with it so much as just the fact that we still make sure we cover that good, I guess, so.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not suggesting blending the services. I'm just saying in what we've dealt with in the last couple months regarding security issues, there seems to be a need to have at times those folks at the table. And there may be a time, 2.5-3 years ago when we were working at the EMS process. The EMS process of emergency management was basically its own committee, and we met tirelessly on that. And so that's kind of dropped off a little bit. Yeah. So. We may find out in a year that there's a big project for Gus or emergency management. We need to separate those out. But I just think my thought process was that there's some continuity that we could have there at least this year and see how it goes.
Yeah,
being sensitive to those things, though, I think you're correct.
Yeah. The comment I would have for the sheriff is that I guess you don't really classify him as a first responder, but you're right. He is a resource to the first responders.
Right.
And
then
I agree with you on that point. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're done. I just want to make sure we discuss that because I couldn't really discuss it outside of here without having everybody here. So done with discussion. So I guess next would be to approve or disapprove the board committees.
I move to approve the committees as offered by the chair.
By Lytle.
Second.
Second and by Setzer. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve the committees for 2013. Next item on the agenda is to approve or disapprove a letter of support for Five Rivers RC&D for the grant application on recycling study and authorizing chairman to sign the letter.
I guess I'll Has everybody seen a copy of the letter or whatever? What this is...
Just need a motion first.
Oh, I'll make a motion.
Okay. Sorry. Motion by Doran. Second by Lytle. Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. I forgot about that. They are applying for a grant from the Nebraska Department of Environmental Quality to do a study on the amount of recycling in the 8-county area. And what this is a letter of support and a letter of participation that we will support them doing that study and when necessary, we'll be able to supply the information what they want. This is no cost to the county or anything. And she explained it, Bobby Mines over there explained it, that it's basically some of the counties have concerns about if there's more opportunity out there to get more equipment or do more recycling, and that's what this study will do and everything. So it's I think it's about an $8,000, if I remember right, a little over an $8,000 grant that they're applying for.
Myron, have they had discussions with the BOSWA as far as some of these ideas and or needs or whatever?
My understanding is part of this grant, they will again. They'll have a discussion with BOSWA. A couple times during the past 2 years that I've been on that board, I visited with BOSWA, or I can't remember his name down there, the head guy down there. I can't remember his name, about some of the grants that they have gotten. And sometimes Gage County has already, got the same grants, or not the same grants, but they've already gotten funding for some of these projects. So sometimes it hasn't worked for Gage County as well or whatever. But some of the other counties have really used it a lot. You know, like Creed had the recycling one over there. And I know this last year, Gage County had their own tire. They got their own tire grant, and Paul Hay ran that out at the fairgrounds. But four out of the other seven counties got a grant altogether too for tire recycling, and it's a study on the amount and the quality of recycling in the 8-county area. That's what it'll be.
And Myron has written a letter, and he has it here. It's, and I like it, short, sweet. Be blunt, and be brief, be done.
Don made it look very nice putting it on our letterhead or whatever. I really appreciate that. So.
Further discussion? But have a motion in a second. No further discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Next item on the agenda is to approve or disapprove a real estate purchase agreement.
I'll move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Roger, do you want to?
Basically, just for informational purposes, we were approached some time ago from the individuals that own the property located at 615 North 7th Street here in Beatrice through their attorney to inquire as to whether the county would be interested in purchasing that property. My understanding, some time ago, there was some discussion, again, very informal, about that property. And again, because of its location, there's an obvious reason the county would be interested in it. But the price at that time was fairly high, and so the matter was dropped. Since then, they have approached again, and the price as set forth in the agreement was reduced considerably. I know I talked with Patty Milligan as far as that price, and she felt, given the various factors that obviously the board's taken into consideration, the $90,000 would be a viable price. Now, as far as if I was out looking for a property, would I pay that as an individual? You know, probably not, but that's the nature of the beast when you're dealing with a public entity that is looking at property. We are landlocked here, and so this is a property for other folks. It lies immediately between the existing lot just east of the sheriff's offices and the VA duplex there. So obviously it is important from our standpoint. I would answer anything else that anybody may have as far as questions. You want me to cover anything else?
I guess I'd just like to say, and if Gus could come up, yeah, I'm gonna put you on the spot here. Just for the record, because I recognize the sensitivity of the location of this potential purchase, is that there currently there is no formal, informal discussion, committee, subgroup, investigative group having anything to do with building, expanding, renovating anything with a jail or sheriff's office?
That is correct. There's no discussions whatsoever.
We were approached. It's an opportunity where you've got a piece of land in between two that are already there. And I visit with the gentleman on the board who own land in the rural areas. What happens when a parcel comes up in between the two you already own? So I just wanted to be very clear about that there is no intention, but it was an opportunity that we were approached on, and there's nothing else going on. Anyone else would like to attest to that or speak to the contrary? If there are meetings, I'd like to come. I don't think there are any, though.
I don't know if we've stated the price yet, I guess.
Yeah, we'll have to have the
price. You did? Okay, sorry.
And I would note, too, just as a matter of course, the prospective sellers, you know, basically will be looking for a replacement property. They don't have anything lined up. So we have built into the contract that basically they, you know, can take their time, find a property, identify it, and then we would have 60 days in which to close the deal once they do that. So as far as further expense out there from the county, we're not going to be heating or air conditioning the unit until we actually take possession.
And it's
if you approve the contract.
$1,000, I believe.
$1,000 down.
$1,000 down is basically all our expense at this point. Any further discussion or comments?
I'll just make one more comment. That Rex did have quite a, I guess, a part in this yet, too, because he was still on the board when this came up for discussion or whatever. They approached Rex, and he brought it to the board, and he had a lot of insight on what, like Roger mentioned in previous years, about some of the discussions they had with that family or that family had with the board. And just like thank Rex for his time on this, too, because he put quite a bit of effort and thought into it, too.
I have a motion to second. Any further discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Committee reports. Building and Grounds.
Okay, Building and Grounds Committee has met a couple of times since our last regular board meeting, and Dave Jones, who's our custodian building maintenance person, is working as directed on getting some estimates on some of the security, smaller community courthouse security issues that the security committee has brought to us, and he will be researching those and getting more information and bringing them back to us. And as we get into some of those we'll be able to handle in this year's budget still, but some will need to carry over in the next year. So we're in the process of working on those as directed.
Thank you. Thank you. Economic development?
Well, Bob tried calling Bill, and we didn't get a hold of him. Roger's trying to call the chamber here, too, and stuff. And I know he knows about it because we a lot of several emails, and then Monday night at city council meeting said he'd see you Wednesday morning. So I'm not sure why Bill's not here. But we had a meeting again last Thursday night. And Monday night, also, I'll bring up that at the city council meeting, you got the same kind of guidelines what Bill has come up with for incentives for Engage. I thought the mayor had a real good comment. These are not set in stone that if a company comes that it's a guarantee that the city or the county will approve those. These are guidelines so that when that company comes, Bill has reasonable assurance that, yes, the county and the city are both on board with this type of incentive package and that there's a really good or fairly reasonable chance that they will approve that type of package. That's set up more than anything so that every time there's a company that's involved in maybe a coming to the county, Bill doesn't have to run to both boards and say, hey, I need an economic development package for this group or whatever. This is something that each of us will be asked to approve, and then as we go forward, then Bill has some what he calls guidelines, and I believe there are very good guidelines, too, and stuff. At the city council meeting, there weren't a lot of questions the other night about it. It's just, you know, some thoughts about that they didn't want to be necessarily 100% committed to something, but they also knew that to help the economic development in this county, we do need to be proactive and have this. One comment was asked of Bill. well, what did you base these on or whatever? He said 24 years of experience, and he's had a lot of experience, and I've talked to him, and I know the other board members have too, about the fact, how did you know to come up with these guidelines or whatever? As an example, we've already, he has met with one company in the county, and they, not in the county, that was thinking of coming to the county, and he developed a, before we had these guidelines to show, he developed a specific package for them. And somebody, I think Pat Radigan, asked him the question, well, is this going to be competitive or not? And he says, in my experience and the companies I've dealt with, this is a very competitive package as far as incentives. So, I mean, we have that type of background to fall back on with Bill, that he is aware of what it takes or what you need to offer to some of these companies out there. So, and hopefully, we tried calling Bill and Roger here too, so hopefully at the next meeting, I know you all have a copy or did. If not, we'll get you one, and hopefully we'll be able to approve that at the next meeting. We also did, and I visited with Don, the auditor. Unless Bob would like to get up and say something.
I agree with what you said. I mean,
good.
Just heard me be quiet.
No, my name's Bob Sykes. I'm on the Engage Committee with Myron. And I agree with what he's saying is, I think we've got a very good person in charge. Now let him do the job. That's the biggest thing. It isn't Beatrice. We're rural. We're out here. He's looking out the best. And there's a lot of these businesses coming in wanting money. You know, and how many of them have you seen or have been around that came in, got money, and the building's empty? So what he's setting up should eliminate some of that to start with.
Yeah.
So I agree, you know, let it have a start and get going before, you know, this micromanaging or whatever you want to say. So I agree. I think we've got a lot of support from you guys, the city council, what I'm hearing. So, and the chamber, I'm not, involved with those. Main Street, I think we got a group working together for the betterment of our area. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah. Any questions for Bob? Myron?
One other comment. Don, I gave her a copy. Schultz is our accountant. Schultz's accounting firm out there is our accountant, and Don has a copy of, I guess, before we've been kind of keeping the financials, and Schultz has gone over it, brought it all up to date, and every month now we will be getting a report from them as part of Engage or whatever. They will be giving us a monthly report on that, and that will be going over to Don, the county and the city both, or whatever. And any other questions, I guess?
Emergency Management, EMS. Obviously, like Matt mentioned earlier, LEOP, we are starting to get into that, and they'll be elbow deep in that for a while now. Also, quite extensive into just different security updates and getting the courthouse up to speed as far as emergency procedures. Hope to cover the whole gamut before we get too far into the future to try and get us caught up so that when we have a tornado or a fire drill or whatever, we know what we're doing so that we're able to safely evacuate the buildings and hopefully not make an issue worse than it has to be. So that's what we've done there.
Okay. Thanks, Gary. Equalization?
Nothing new.
Finance Committee. I guess I don't... What did we discuss?
Not a lot, except I guess part of what Gary said too, a little bit on security and some of the things that Gus and the committee have been working on and other things is that some of the preliminary discussions have started, I guess, on cost. And anytime you do things, anytime you have security issues or you need to do some things, for example, in the courthouse, there's a couple of the doors, if we put on the system that you have now on them, there's some cost to that and some discussion about that and how we'll fund that and stuff. So,
Human Resource Employee Relations.
I don't have any report on that, but I would like to say I covered Myron at the Southeast Nebraska Neighborhood Development this last week. And when you get their newsletter, if they took a picture of the full board, so if it says Myron Dorn, Gage County, you're going to see my picture there. And also the other two guys that did not show up for that meeting got put on the executive board, and so I told Myron he owes me big time for showing up for
him. You should have nominated yourself.
I thought about it.
Well, I get as part of that committee, is that move forward with that too. We have the employee handbook that we typically approve. When does that come up? So we'll have to make sure that runs through the committee, go through and look at, make sure that our personnel policies and things are up to snuff. Do that every year, go through and review that and work with the department heads. So just.
I know Dawn had been working on that. I will get with her this next week and get what she has. We'll get a committee meeting together, go over that, and then we have a couple people we need to meet with.
And then just, I know we have to head off. Of course, you can't when people just declare holidays. It's hard to sometimes catch up. But maybe if we can look at the calendar and see if we've got need to be creative with how we're going to designate holidays. Just leave it at that. Maybe we can head off any ill will. Insurance.
Nothing new to report, but I would say with the new committees that I would encourage Myron, and I'll discuss with him, Myron and the new committee, to get with Dawn and get moving on getting that next
meeting,
full employee meeting together.
Amber had her baby 2 weeks early, so our representative.
Okay. Dawn just said that our representative had her baby 3 weeks early, so we might be,
ready to go, huh?
Got notice today.
Life is
good. 5 pounds.
Law enforcement. We had a meeting Monday. And I'll bring up one thing. Gus called me last night. This is another thing on the our bathroom project over here at the jail. Reitzman called Gus. And maybe, Gus, you want to explain it, I guess. You visit with him, so you understand it better.
Well, as you know, we're going to replace all the toilets on the west side of the facility. And the project was moving along. We're going to have about a two-week setback now. Reitzman's up there double-checking everything and come to find out that the existing walls are a little worse off than they had anticipated because of the rusting and flaking out. And the concern is the current type combination toilet sink we have are suspended by those walls. And so, as you know, we're going to put up sheets of stainless steel, which are not very thick. And his concern was if it hold that and support it. So he did some checking around, and he can get the same combination system that sets on the floor and just fastens to the wall instead of suspends for the same money. So the bids don't change. I talked to Myron last night about it. I told him go ahead because it doesn't change anything on the price. But I think for sake of just how my clients can be over there, I think something sitting on the ground, it can be harder to work off the wall than using the existing walls we have now. So, and he just wanted to bring that to our attention, and so we ignore that. I think that was probably a good move on his part to let us know that, because I agreed with that wholeheartedly.
Not to be the stick in the mud, but did we have that spec'd out that way as far as that being that type of system?
No, he just bid what we have currently.
Okay.
The plumbing stays the same. The drain stays the same. It's just instead of supporting the wall, it just sits on the wall or sits on the floor and then attaches to the wall.
Okay. So we wouldn't need to do a change order to make that change, would we?
Well, I mean, as far as they say, there's no price or
no cost
difference. I would, again, abundance of caution after going through some other stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Just do an acknowledgement signed by the parties.
But I think he was the only person to bid too on the project, so
still got to cover our bases.
Yeah. Understand. Yeah.
Okay. Road and Bridge, Terry.
Got a couple more things.
Sorry. One thing,
and just wanted to bring it up. The sheriff's office budget was at 46% as of 12/28, and the jail budget was at 50%. And thank you, Gus, for giving that information to us. And then the other thing, Gus did. Give us a listing of the 17 vehicles we have and the mileage on them. Some of them are getting higher miles again. Some of them, we've got some with some pretty low miles yet, which, I mean, shows that we bought. So if you'd like to comment on that, Gus.
I try to do that about once a year so the board knows where we're at on the fleet. I met last night with my mechanics committee, and they have made the recommendations, and I'll be getting that typed up and to my committee here probably the next
meeting or two, so you'll have that to look at. When you start looking at budgets, we'll have those kind of what we're going to do. So,
no, thank you.
Yes.
And that the cars, that the two cars, are either one out of the shop yet? The
one,
two,
one's out.
One's out.
One's out.
We just have one in the shop yet. So
that's correct.
And they did, the one out here by Philly, they did fix that one.
They were going to fix that. It wasn't a total, so
no.
They went ahead. It's newer with a little miles. They went ahead and decided to fix it. So no frame damage, just outside cosmetics, I guess. So,
thank you.
Sorry. Terry.
Okay, Galen and Deborah have been working on the 1 and 6 year plan that needs to be approved in February. And while we're speaking about it, anyone with any bridge concerns throughout the county should get a hold of the Galen or Deborah to have them look at it. If there's something they think that's wrong with anything out there, we want to look at it and see what it is. So township officials, be aware, look in their area. Concerning that, Myron, John, and Matt, and myself, we attended a township, just a group meeting last Thursday evening up at Pickerel in Matt's district. Excellent turnout, and I thought it was a well responded meeting. So, I mean, we accomplished a lot of questions answered and back and forth. And in the future, Myron's going to have one in district, and John and myself will have something in the southern part of the district, probably middle of February, I'm going to say, before we get that done. So that's our plan for that. We've had everybody should have some information I provided them concerning titles and the structure down at the highway department. I would like to have everybody review that. And if there's any questions, contact myself or Galen. It's well put together, I think, and that answers a lot of questions, I think, that probably a lot of people have had concerning what's this person's job, what's his responsibility, what's he supposed to do. So look that over. Hopefully at the next meeting we'll approve those titles and situations down there. Galen received a quote on those 14 signs and stands we need for the grading on the patrols. The amount was $1,686.30. Galen went ahead and ordered those. And last but not least, Galen met with the Norris public power officials concerning their projects for this upcoming year. So we know where they're going to be. They know where we're going to be. So that's it.
Just make a comment too. I guess part of our meeting too, we did discuss about some more about Hickory Road up here, and we're still trying to, in the process of setting up some meetings with some of the utilities and maybe some of the landowners and stuff, and we're working on that. So hopefully that project is still very much in the forefront or whatever. We're still having a lot of discussions, and I know mentioned the fact that we put in the budget there about the fact that we were going to do some grading on there this year, and we had discussion about that and if that can get done and those type of things. So, or when that would fall in, what kind of what year as far as the budget goes and everything. So,
okay. Any other discussion? Road and bridge. The next item is a closed session. I guess before we do that, there won't be any action afterwards. It's just
Mr. DeMuth, they contacted him, and he is on his way. So okay. Just to let you know.
Yeah. Okay, well, then we won't go into closed session. We'll just
take a recess.
We'll just take a recess.
We'll take a five-minute recess.
We'll take a five-minute recess. Before we go, is there need to be heard and say what they needed to say? Okay, we'll take a recess.
The future, but it can be done, and there are four districts in the city. that you can do that. Infrastructure costs, the county fund, if available, be considered on a case-by-case basis. And USDA funds, I think, is something that hasn't been explored and looked at as much as it could. And so we want to do that in the future. I just met with USDA yesterday. in Lincoln and had a nice conversation there. There's one fund, you can get $1 million, 10 years, 0% money. It's called Red Leg. I won't bore you with all these acronyms. And then there's also one where you can get a grant and can for a community project, a hospital project, a company project, et cetera, that if you receive that grant for $300,000 or less, then that can be converted into a revolving loan fund. So that would give us an additional tool. So we'll be looking for ways to that to do that. City of Adams contacted me on Friday. They're looking at developing further their emergency management training facility, and that might be something to that USDA could be a part of. So I'm waiting for some information from them on that. But we have some other ideas, too, to work on that, so won't go into those at this time. So those are the funding sources. Excuse me. And if there's any question, I tried to define what a forgivable loan is and what a loan is. I know you know what a loan is. And that could be a 0% loan. Sometimes that can be a real incentive, or you could defer a payment. So we won't go into any of that real detail unless you have questions. And there I'll stop because the president of the Greater Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce said he sometimes thinks I get paid by the word I speak. But please, any questions?
I got a question, or not a question, I guess a comment. Now, this the other night at the city council meeting, they're going to approve this at their next meeting, these guidelines, and that's what we need to or should be doing, too, so that we can approve these, or if there's questions or comments, to change them or however, but just so the board's aware of that fact, I guess.
Right.
Would be the time-sensitive nature of this? How quickly do we need to get this done? Is there...
Oh, I think if you... You know, took a month or so. That's, I don't think it's, you don't have to follow lockstep with what the city council plans to do. And they may have some revisions that, you know, need further consideration.
So let's plan to put this on the agenda in 2 weeks for further discussion, and then 2 weeks after that for consideration. So we'll give a good month at it, but we'll put a timeline, so we're either going to do we'll deal with it.
Yep. That's great.
Yeah, I just think just a note here. I think before there was another economic development group around. I believe we budgeted $30,000 or $60,000 for a couple years ourselves, independent of anyone else, recognizing there may need to be infrastructure needs that we could help with. So we formally by the budget put dollars in there, but we really didn't have a plan. It was just if somebody showed up and needed some economic development until we had re-energized the process. We did budget some dollars that were out there. So right now we don't have any specifically earmarked for that outside of the dollars that go to Engage. So this would be in addition to that. We'd have to designate in the budget. So just to say that.
And understanding when I listed local incentive tools, that wasn't necessarily saying that the county would specifically provide those. I was thinking more in terms of what we had heard in some of our meetings. Excuse me. That's typically what the city has the capability of doing. But if we go outside of the city, then it's a good point that you brought that up. Because we want to have that flexibility. But, again, we'll case by case. I appreciate that, Matt.
And then one other thought. Well, I thought there you mentioned down here about the TIF that's not currently available in the county.
That's my understanding.
Now, I wasn't involved with the energy up there. They did TIF, but they annexed or somehow they brought that into the city of Adams, and that's how kind of
that's how
so
they
just
did
so that's
yep.
So there are some businesses out in the county yet that have used that because energy was a very valuable tool for them.
Yes. Yeah. But
I don't want to say there's ways around it. There's ways of helping that out or whatever.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. Complying. That's a good word. That's a lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah. I was not going to speak to that. I just made the statement of fact.
Yep.
I'm quite familiar with how TIFs work.
Yep.
So you could do a little changing in TIFs in this state, too, by the way, but we'll talk about that offline. So it's a good tool.
Further questions about that? No. Okay, so 2 weeks further discussion, month, decide, vote.
Okay. All right, well, let's continue with the report if we can. Existing industry calls, very important to do. 24 is the number I recorded in the last quarter. Have met with pretty much all of the industrial park. Also have met with companies in Clatonia, Cortland, Adams. Can't get a return phone call from Blue Springs Wymore, but I think I will have talked with them a couple times. So we are branching out into the county also when we make these calls and learning some good and interesting things. And also I was out in the met with Rosine Machine, which is, I guess, not in a city. It is literally in the county, but nice operation he has out there. And he was able to help him a little bit on a project he was working on. So we're very cognizant of not just staying within Beatrice. Want to get out into the county and meet with all businesses. Dennis, is it Schumacher? I keep getting it wrong. In Clatonia, the welder.
Oh, Sherman.
Sherman.
Sherman, yeah. It's pronounced different than it looks.
Yeah. He only could meet at 5:30 a.m., so that was an early drive up to Clatonia. But a good man and a good little business. So, I'm always anxious to meet with businesses. That's where you learn things. Just talked to one this Monday. And learned a couple things that we need to be paying attention to. Some may know about that, but I didn't, but I do now. So you get a lot of value in doing that. And the other part that I wanted to mention, and it kind of goes into the next part report item, is retention of business is very important. And we have to be real cognizant of that moving forward. And that's not only the industrial commercial, but it also has to do with retail, because within economic development, if you don't have a strong community or area, you'll hear me say this 100 times, companies look for that, and if you don't have it, then you're more likely to get taken off the list than you are to stay on the list. So moving forward and efforts that have been done in the past, we just need to keep doing that from as many associations and groups as we can. We're working collaboratively, not formally, but collaboratively with Main Street and the Chamber. We talk almost daily. So we're all focused on what can we do for the area and the community and improve it. And we all have our parts, but there's also some overlap. And our philosophy is we really don't care who does the work, as long as it gets done, because there's plenty to do. So if there were any territorial lines, we've got to chop those down, and we're moving forward in a real positive way. So that's been refreshing. We did meet with the Cortland and Adams Village Board. Plan to meet with all of them throughout the next 6 months. I have a list of them and who the chairs are. In future meetings, we'll talk a little bit about how these villages can actually be a strong point in what we're doing. But at the same time, they have to decide if they want to get involved. And it's really not so much their money that you're interested in. It's their attitude. And sometimes that's difficult to change, but we can at least address it. We completed our Engage website, so we're up and running with that. I encourage you all to look at that or refer it to people if they're interested in Gage County. It's a good tool. We purposely made it simple. We purposely made it functional towards economic development. It's not something that we want to have a lot of bells and whistles on. What it's focused on is if you have a project, you can go to this site and find out what's available in the county, what are some of the statistics you need to do to evaluate the county, and probably most importantly, if they use it, and it's pretty much right there in front of them, is tell us about your project. That's the most valuable way I've found to work with a client or a prospect. If you're approached, if you just use that open-ended question, tell us about your project. Try that some. It's very effective. If they can tell you about it, then you might want to continue to talk to them. If they can't, then you might want to say, well, then send them to me. And we'll go through that. But I used that yesterday once again, and it gave me reason to meet with the person. But at the same time, there's work yet to be done on that. So we're looking ways to filter down and screen people and knowing how to work with them appropriately from the beginning. Because we want to work with everyone, but there's stages you work with them in. And that's probably getting a little bit into science and art of economic development. But anyway, advised NPPD on regarding marketing material for the IPPE trade show. I was glad to share some of my thoughts, and they appreciated it, so I'll leave it at that. And then we're having a business appreciation event on Thursday, February 21st, coming up. Everyone here that is sitting up here is invited. And we hope you'll be able to attend. It'll be at Classics. You'll be getting an invitation the next day or two. The idea is to say we appreciate business in Gage County, but at the same time, we want to bring together the leaders and government officials that impact business in the county. So we're looking at having the owners or CEOs of businesses attend. We want city and county representatives there. We want the superintendents attending, CPAs, lawyers, insurance agencies, because they all impact economic activity within the community and the area. And we'll also be including contractors and others. So we're trying to do the best we can to get as many people there as possible. It looks like I'm not going to build expectations, but the DED director may be attending, Catherine Lang. So I took a couple, my first meeting Monday or yesterday morning, someone knows her pretty well, and so I said, well, why don't you come down? Because he would be a good person to have come down. And by the way, bring her. And so I'm coming at her from a couple different angles. Senator Wallman said he'd help us out on that. Spent a couple hours with him at Main Street's event last night. So we look for that to be a good kickoff event and start those relationships and move forward from there. And then we organized, participated, attended meetings related to Gage and Gage strategic areas and focus and objectives. Myron handed out all the ones that I had for the last one, so I'll make a point to get your emails and send those to you, because we'd like to have you continue to look at them. They came out of our work plan, which you're familiar with, but any ideas you have or suggestions you have, we welcome those. And it has mainly to do with existing small business workforce collaboration and marketing. So that's what we're NGAGE is supposed to be doing, and that's what you'll be looking for us to be doing. So we have some pretty positive things going on in those areas. So I probably spoke too long, but I'll leave it open for any questions. And somehow I'm going to have, I think I'll have my daughter call me next time. I don't forget this meeting. I'm just so embarrassed about that.
I didn't know you would attend the meeting at 5:30 in the morning, or we'll give you an earlier invitation.
Have you had any contact with workforce development at the One Stop out here, Karen Stowe's?
We do. Okay. We do. That's an area that there's some efforts going on in that area, and we are staying involved in that. We're looking at kind of a broader area, one that they would be very helpful, as well as the community college would be, in terms of, you know, what you look at labor force, 30-mile radius is a pretty good area to start looking at. So how can you get out and have more of those tentacles that go out, how we bring those together? And that was one of my meetings yesterday on that. But she's involved. She's invited to the event on the 21st. And then, of course, Catherine Lang also handles Department of Labor as well as Department of Economic Development responsibilities. So that's going to take a little time because it's there's some good systems in place and some good things going on, but we're taking kind of a 5 to 10 year view and a comprehensive view on that, and it takes a little time to get that organized. So, but it's very important. It's your number one criteria when it comes to companies looking at economic development.
I think I found what we can.
Okay.
This we'll make sure everybody gets a copy of it in their in their box or whatever.
Great.
I found what you had.
Thanks.
I kept one copy Monday night. So. Sorry.
Well, that's a good sign.
No. You kept a copy for yourself?
Yeah.
No. Any other questions? No. Right. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you.
No, I'm not a question. Get a copy of those incentives. That incentive page.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I guess I need a motion to place this report on file.
I offer that we receive and place on file the quarterly report from Engage Director, Mr. Bill DeMuth.
Motion by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Doran. Discussion.
And you got the financials.
Yeah. We gave that to Don. Yeah. Don has that. And
everybody should have a copy of
that. All right.
Too.
Well, thank you all.
7-0 to place the report on file.
All right. Last thing is...
Need to vote, Mr. Chairman.
We did.
We did? No.
Yeah,
I missed it.
It's 7-0.
All right.
Are you going to oppose it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, last thing on the agenda is a closed session to discuss security updates necessary for the protection of the public interest. And again, this is just ongoing discussions in light of some potential changes we may make. So, in a motion to go to executive closed session, there will be no action afterwards. I don't believe there's any action items, just discussion.
Make a motion, we go on closed session.
Motion by Doran.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Vote. 7-0 to go to closed session.
Got that one.
Oh, yeah, they keep
yep. All right, need a motion to come out of executive session or closed session 11:15.
It's all moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Any discussion, vote? 7-0. Anything else for the good of the order of the Board of Supervisors?
I just got a comment. I didn't do it earlier. The RC&D meeting, Willis Lutke or whatever from Saline County, he made a comment about their courthouse over there. They're looking at putting in an elevator. Their building's on the National Register. So something about their floors are too thick. They can't go up through the building. They're going to have to do an add-on. The preliminary design that comes back from the engineer, because it's an add-on and it has to meet the specs of the historical building, is a little over $2.2
million. Oh, good God.
And that's just for conversation for you guys to know. Now, he didn't say they had to do
Willis
the elevator.
Willis was going nuts. Wasn't
Willis
it?
Was going nuts. He didn't say they had to do the elevator. I didn't catch that part or whatever. And when I heard that, I go, oh. And people are complaining in our county about the upgrades they did to the courthouse for $3 to $4 million. If, you know, and I don't know if they have guidelines or state rules that they have to put the elevator in, but he sure didn't seem very interested in putting the elevator in.
Can't understand why.
Well, I think I'd wait. Have them make me.
Right. If there's nothing more, then the Board of Supervisors will adjourn at 11:17.